you got your claws in my heart. Then you're the mouse and I can't tell it apart. It takes me hours just to get through your name. The words on my lips are bending lights through my.
All right, welcome to the, what's today's date, Dan? 4/27, April 27th edition of Look at My Records. And I'm here with Dan Francia. How you doing, Dan?
Good. Hello.
You having a good time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're both having fun already, and the show hasn't even started yet. We kicked it off with the
pre-show was fucking crazy.
Pre-show was lit. We kicked it off with a brand new song by Holy Tunics. If you haven't heard it yet, go check it out. It's incredible. It's on their soon-to-be-released album, Hit Parade, Lemonade, Supersonic Spree, and it's called Upside Down in Wonderland. And then I threw in, for good measure, a song by one of their Meritorio Records label mates, The Seams, and the name of the song, you're not going to believe this, Dan.
What is it?
It's The Seams, off of the record, Meet the Seams.
Wow.
A little into themselves, but they're really good, so I don't blame them. You
don't hear that often.
But it's great to have you here. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Haven't done much yet today.
Well, you're here and you're doing an interview. This is.
I see you have a WFMU Record Fair sticker on.
Yeah, I was volunteering there before this.
Is that Saturday and Sunday, or is that?
It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, selling some records and stuff.
Are you going tomorrow?
Probably not. I did get a bunch of good stuff there today.
Okay.
The key is to get there early, apparently, because they sell stuff that's donated to them. Mm-hmm. And really good deals. I gotta say, I was getting sealed new records for like $8, $7 from their table. So it's really marked down. So hey, go to the WFMU.
Speaking of
records,
the turntable's not here today.
I know. I'm kind of annoyed with that. They took
wanted to hear the original rapper on vinyl. I was actually like, oh, I've never heard that on vinyl.
Yeah. We'll play it sometime though. We're friends now, so we'll hang out and we'll play it for sure. Yeah, it is kind of disappointing that the turntables were moved to the new studio, which is down the block, and my show's not broadcast out of there yet.
It's actually not a big deal, but I have a funny story about the original rapper. Can I tell a story?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
So my roommate, who is a couple blocks from here, actually, a few years ago, we're talking about Lou Reed. He's like, oh, I've seen Lou Reed. Like, yeah, it's kind of boring. Like, whatever, he got boring. Like, I like the Velvet Underground, but like, dude got cheesy. Like, he's like, check out this video. Like, look how bad this is. Like, can you believe, like, he got to this level? Like, and ever since then, I show it to people all the time as being like a masterful piece of art. I'm like, loved everything about this song and the video and everything. I'm like, and he showed it to me like, you're going to hate this shit. And that's why I saw it in your record collection. So that's why I picked
it. Yeah, Mistral's a great record. Yeah. Original rapper is a great song. We're going to play it later.
Yeah.
But first, tell us about you. You just put out a new solo record in January on Exploding in Sound Records. It's actually your debut solo record, Come Back to Life.
Truth. Yeah.
Features a lot of collaborators. You had like 36 people contribute to this record.
I think it was 37, but not a big deal.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to leave anyone out, to be honest. So let's get the figure straight.
I believe it actually is 37. Yeah, I did count, at one point.
So tell me about that. You're a bass player. That's your instrument. You've played with a lot of other projects, and now you put together this, what seems like a massive undertaking, getting that many people to coordinate on a solo record. How were you able to put it all together?
I kind of have endless stories about that, and it took like a year and a half. And I was saying the whole time, like, the managing part was the hardest part. Like, people would be like, okay, I'm gonna come over, and then like, oh, I can't. And then there'd be times where I was like really working on it, like a lot of times where I wasn't working on it at all. And I don't know, a lot of shit happened. I'm kind of like, it's kind of not as fresh anymore, but yeah, it was hard to get everybody together. You know Mike Watt's first album, right?
Yeah.
It's got everyone on it or whatever. It was kind of like that in my head. I've heard a bunch of people, like Davy Jones from Lost Boy. Like, people have always thrown around the idea of like the guest artist album that's like way out of control. And I just like had the moment to do it, I guess. It was just like a concept of a, yeah.
That's cool. And it really all comes together well.
Thanks.
And when you put together these songs, What was the level of contribution from the people that appeared on the record? Did you have it all written already, or were they kind of like bouncing ideas off of you when they came over to record and stuff like that? What was your writing process like on Come Back to Life?
Good question. Like again, a few different ways happen. At first, like the people I kind of knew were going to be like my live band, like my friends from high school or whatever, like the drummer, especially at Kuken, we had like two songs that I just had. I was like, this is like the beginning of the album. And we tracked that like right away, the basic tracks, bass and drums. And then like I recorded as I went. It wasn't like the whole thing was written and then recorded. It was like I was writing and recording at the same time. I was throwing away tracks and adding tracks and like, oh, maybe I'll put a cover. And like, no, I'm not going to put a cover. And like, oh, maybe I'll do this. And like, so it wasn't one way, but to give you more of a, something of an answer, fucking like Jordan Blakely and I did Ghost Stories. Like each song kind of had its own story. So like Ghost Stories, I was like, you know what? I need a crazy ass track that's long and like through compose. I don't want anything to repeat. I want it to be kind of like technical, kind of like weird, experimental, maybe like whatever. I want to do like, I had an idea that I wanted to do that kind of a song for some reason. And I told Jordan and we sat down and from scratch just wrote it. But for the most part, there was no like co-writing, but I ended up giving a lot of co-writing credits to like, say like Luke, who sang and Walking in Heaven, where he took a track and made all the vocals and the melody and everything. And I'm like, okay, that's like basically your song now.
Luke from Buena, right?
Yeah, he's my roommate.
Cool.
He's sexy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a badass.
He's from, so.
And a gentle
flower. Last time I saw him was like a couple of years ago. And we realized we're both like from sort of the same area, Staten Island. Yeah. Good guy.
Staten.
I'd love to see him again someday. I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
Good guy.
I hope so. Yeah.
But, so.
I love Luke. Hey, what's up, Luke?
Hey, Luke, what's up? When I listened to this record, my impression is, how'd you work out the sequencing? Because it flows really well, but at the same time, I feel like every song kind of sounds different as well. Every song is definitely unique. How'd you decide on these tracks and the sequencing of it?
I think that came later. I think that came later when I had all my tracks and I laid it out. I'm like, how is this going to be a record? And that's when some tracks came off the album. For example, maybe I had too much of like this type of a track, or maybe I had like, or I didn't want another hard, harsh track. I took one of those off. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the sequence actually played a lot into what the album was, but, maybe even in like a limiting thing. Like for a lot of times I make a record, even the last EP I did before this was like a concept record or a concept EP. Like, so this one, I was like, I'm not going to do that. There's not going to be like a theme throughout. Like there's not going to be like, I'm not going to play those games. I'm going to make like each track its own thing. And, but then it ended up kind of being a storyline and then the sequence and then some of the, like this, like subject matter. And then like it started turning into its own, kind of, well sequenced story or whatever in a way, even though it's kind of not so literal.
Tell me about the theme of the record, because it does seem to have a bit of a narrative.
There is none. If I had one, I probably wouldn't even say it. Like Marky Smith said, don't tell your secrets. You know what I'm saying? Like
keep it close to the vest, dude.
Like I can't stop talking I would tell all my secrets right now, but like there isn't a clear narrative. There's like definitely like themes and shit, but like just listen to the album, you know?
Yeah. Continue listening to it. I'll continue listening to it. It sounds awesome. I love it. Come Back to Life. So the first track, Walking in Heaven, you had a pretty cool collaborator. I'm a big Feelies fan. You have an association with the Feelies and bands like Speed the Plow.
We're going to get into all that.
Glenn Mercer plays on the track. Tell us a little bit about your background, I guess, growing up in and around the Feelies universe. Your dad has played with Glenn Mercer and Dave Weckerman and the Tripes and stuff like that. What was that like?
Well, okay, so Glenn played on the first track, which is Planet in Transit. My dad was in the Tripes, right?
Which is a Feelies offshoot after the they broke up for the first time.
Well, the Tripes
right?
were kind of the Tripes, and kind of Glenn came in and okay. made it a Feelies offshoot.
Good, you're giving me some people good info.
People don't know. There's so many goddamn stories.
Yeah,
there's no a lot of it. And every time I see an article on these people, there's at least one thing that's just like wrong. But that goes for all artists, yeah. but like especially them. They're like nobody's got the stories right.
That's cool. Well, you're a good source of knowledge there. Then so Glenn kind of came in later, it. And your dad was in the Tripes.
Yeah, from the beginning. And then that turned into Speed the Plow.
Which you played bass in for a little while.
Okay, well, yeah, so that's later. We're talking like the 80s or whatever the hell they were doing back then. And then I came into it because, John and Tony from Speed the Plow, like the husband and wife and the songwriter, John, like, and my dad were kind of the meat and potatoes of Speed the Plow the whole time. And, John kept saying, like, you should play bass with us and stuff. And he had the idea of his son playing guitar. And I had just honestly, quite honestly, never listened to my dad's music until, like, late high school, like, maybe, like, college. Like, I was already playing music for years before, like, I even considered my dad a musician. Because I thought, like, he didn't really do it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He did, but, like, I was too young. I remember like when Brenda moved to Pennsylvania and they had like a band practice and I was there and I was probably like 3 years old or something. Hazy like memories. And that was the last time Speed the Plow played where Brenda was in it. But they actually, that lineup just reunited at Monty Hall playing with Longneck, who we were just talking about before the show started.
I was out of town
started.
For that. I wish I was there for that.
Honestly, this Jersey shit, I could go in a spiral. Like there's so many little stories. So anyways, he was in Speed the Plow. They decided that they wanted to keep playing. I actually started listening to records. I was like, wow, shit's crazy. The Feelies are like reuniting. They're playing shows. I'm like, wow, this band's insane. Like, I don't even know you guys were in good bands. Like, this is crazy. So, like,
Dad.
So I joined the fucking band. And then, like, my brother was a drummer. John Tony's son was a guitar player. So it was literally like just like two family, like, groups. And we made a few albums. I was in the band for like 5 years. But the last record they did, I played all the bass on. Like, I didn't really, we had like one practice or something. I just went to the studio. I never played live with them after that. But like, it's all in the family. Like John and Tony are on every album I'll ever make, probably. Like
that John and Tony Baumgartner, right?
Yeah, yeah. And on my other EPs and stuff.
They're
too.
On this record too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Hey.
They're
I'm a
they're
big
family.
Fan, so that's really cool. Yeah. When I found that out, I was, whoa. Another cool thing about Dan F.
And I didn't want to, like, yeah, I don't know. I shouldn't tell a story. But, yeah.
But
Glenn.
Yeah.
Who plays on Planet in Transit. Here's a good one. I never, like, I've only had one interview about Dan Francia, so I don't, none of this. I probably have a lot I could say, but, like, Glenn, I was like, you want to do something on the album? He's like, yeah, okay, great. I was like, what about this song? He's like, okay, fine. And, you know, I live in Brooklyn. I don't have a car. My recording setup isn't that much, but I don't have a laptop. I have like a desktop. So my friend was driving me back. The drummer, Ed, was driving me back so we could do some recording for the weekend at his house because he has a house in New Jersey. And I was like, Glenn, this is probably a good time for me to stop by your basement. He records on his little digital 8-track.
Yeah, he records in his basement.
His setup's wacky as fuck. I mean, he uses this one 8-track digital thing that's like 16-bit that like he likes the machine. So he has multiple of them because he's running out of memory on them.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. So when he recorded, he recorded on his thing and we flew it into my Pro Tool session, which a lot of like the Feely stuff. And we've done work like that together before, I guess. But like explain that later. Anyways, I go to his house. I'm like, I'm here for the weekend. This is the weekend. I should get some tracks. I come by, I record it, we're going through the song, and at one point in the song, there's a break where the music stops. So we're tracking his shit into my Pro Tools, and when the music stops in the pause, he pauses his tape machine, because he thinks, or not a tape machine, a digital, like, little 8-track workstation thing, paused it thinking the song was over. I was like, oh, yeah, there's, like, more.
I know this. I know what he's, yeah, yeah.
You know this? Oh, you know the song.
The song, okay, yeah. So, I know this part in the song.
So the rest comes in, and he is kind of, like, confused, and I'm kind of confused. And he didn't listen to the rest of the tracks I sent him, or, like, I sent him the whole album, but I was like, maybe this one. And he only listened to that, but somehow, like, whatever, like, didn't get that, like, thought it was the end or something. And then so he was kind of like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, I'll have other people play. Like, not to mention Devin McKnight, who's in Monica, who I'm playing bass with tonight. Whole nother fucking story. He was already on the track in that part, and he was playing like some crazy guitar. And I'm like, I'll just put something more stuff on it. Like, it's fine. But I was in New Jersey for one more day. The next day, tracking for the album. He's like, you know what? I'm not doing anything tomorrow. Like, I'm going to try to track something. I was like, no, don't worry about it. Like, it's good. Everything, like, this is amazing. You totally elevated the track to, like, something I could never imagine. Like, this track's amazing now. Like, there's already another guitar in the next. I'm going to just add more stuff. So I'm recording at Ed's house, and Glenn hits me up, and he's like, I recorded something. Come by and get it. And then, so we all go back, like, me and Ed and my friend Steve, and we put the rest of it in, and, like, in that one little day or session or whatever, he had like a million amazing ideas. Like, there's all this shit at the end. Like, he's got like multiple tracks and like all this fucking crazy shit that just brought the track up again. And I was like, thank you. Like, holy shit.
It's
like,
one of my favorite tracks on the record. It's a really good one. And we're going to play that song, and we're going to play two more songs as well from your awesome debut album, Come Back to Life, released on Exploding and Sound Records. You can get it via explodingandsoundrecords.com.
The best record label in the world.
Yeah.
Do you know they don't even take anything from digital? Like, people say Dan Golden's a saint. They have no idea.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy.
No, you don't even. It's crazy.
I don't know, because I've never met him, but I would like to meet him. But he seems like a really nice guy. Like, and I'm a big fan of the label. I'm a big fan of the label, Exploding and Sound. He's scary. He's cool. And then we're also going to play Walking in Heaven and Ghost Stories. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about Ghost Stories. Tell us about Walking in Heaven.
Walking in Heaven was a bass idea I had. I sent it to my friend, the drummer, Ed. He's like, this is my favorite thing we have. I was like, I don't like it. I'm not going to do anything with it. He's like, no, this is the one. So I started to develop it. This is actually when Shea Stadium was still around, which really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And
but it's a couple of years ago already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had to sit on the album multiple times. Like, I was done with it for so long. And,
oh, wow.
And, and Dan's like, we're going to do it in January. And I was done in like June before or something like that. So, but Shea was around. I had some recording dates at Shea. The drums from Walking in Heaven are at Shea. And you could like hear Shea, and it's amazing. And Eric Harm plays half the drums, and Ed plays half the drums. And I didn't know what was going on with the song. I was just laying down tracks, and I knew it might be like a loop type situation. So I just got two loops from both of the drummers for the two different sections. And I had that. I put the bass over it. I'm demoing tracks. I put it in like my rough track sequence, and I'm like showing people my shit. Like, Luke's my roommate, so I'm showing it him. I'm like, you have to sing on the album, obviously. He loves guests. He loves doing the guest thing. Like, you should ask him. Everyone should ask him.
Ask him.
Okay?
Ask him. People.
He's the man. He's the guy.
Ask him.
So, sorry, I just can't stop talking. So fucking, he's like, I love this. In fact, I love how sparse it is. Don't put a single thing on this. Like, don't touch this. I don't want to change the sequence. Like, it's very short. I don't want to have too many instruments. Blah, 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 blah. So he does his vocal thing. I ended up putting Felix from Tool Slant plays harp.
Wow.
Some crazy shit happened. And Rachel Brown from Thanks for Coming and Water from Your Eyes, they're like, I'll sing on it. I'm like, I want this to be a duet. You know what? Rachel's never heard this story. I'm going to tell it right now. They're not going to listen, but I was like, yeah, can you do a duet? They're like, send me the lyrics. So I thought they wanted to write like off of Luke's lyrics, because I took out a lot of Luke's stuff, like all the spaces in the song where there's no vocals, he had sung over. But I took it out because I wanted it to be two different things and be a duet. But then when Rachel sang on it, they sang over Luke's stuff when I got the tracks back, because I wasn't there for that, because they did it like at home. And then I was like, okay, fine, this is great. And that's how the weird, like a lot of weird shit happened. and then Ani from Palbert is on that track.
Yeah.
Okay, so she comes over one day. Like, we're not that type. We play some shows together and stuff. And I like, Palbert is just a shit. Like, huge fan.
No, awesome.
Just
man.
Wanted them incredible. On the album, like, any capacity. Like, I was just trying to get all the best artists around here on the album. They're, like, you know, top on my list. So I can't believe she even, like, came over. We had an amazing fucking time. And then she kind of elevated into a more of a duet thing, because she added another element to it and other voices. And then it just was what it was. And, like, I filled in the blanks.
Awesome song. Awesome song.
I don't know.
Love hearing the story behind the song. Good story.
Yeah.
And then the final track, Ghost Stories, which features Jordan Blakely.
Right.
You guys collaborated on this track.
Right.
So let's play them. We got Planted in Transit, Walking in Heaven, and Ghost Stories. And we will be back right after that. We're not going anywhere, people. So stay tuned. Thank you.
dare we talk over it?
Yeah, we're back. Heard some of Dan Francia's songs, man, from his debut solo album. The record's called Come Back to Life. The songs we heard, Planet in Transit, Walking in Heaven, and Ghost Stories. What a ripping record, man. What's the ripping songs? Keep up the great work, dude. Thanks,
Tom,
for sharing those songs. Now we're transitioning to the second portion of the program where you
sequence.
Picked some records from my record collection.
Nice record collection. Thanks, is that real? Dude. Why is there so many multiples of like of the same record? It says on Discogs.
Sometimes, wait,
you have like six of the same record, it seems like.
Really?
Or no, I'm just reading Discogs wrong, I think. Yeah. Scratch it.
Sometimes it gets in there as a duplicate, but I don't think there's ever been six.
Okay.
But yeah, I love vinyl. And you picked some. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have the record player here, but we're still going to play the songs digitally. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of the 21st century. Not ideal, but we're going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And you started off with Young Woo, Shore Leave.
Nice choice.
Yeah.
Oh, I just gave it to you. That wasn't a sequence necessarily, but yes, do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did you wanted to hear? Eternal, I don't have Ice, a sequence. Right?
Yeah. That's a track. Yeah.
Cool. So tell me, you've played with Dave Wackerman before? Have you played in the same band as this band? Dave Wackerman is the band leader of Young Woo, everyone. It's basically the Feelies, but Dave Wackerman, who plays, he's a percussionist in the Feelies. He's the front man of this band.
Yeah, so it's the Feelies, but you got the percussion player writing the songs and singing, and John from Sweet the Pie playing keyboard.
Yes.
Very important fact.
Very. Thank you. I need to know this stuff. You're schooling me. You're like a Feelies historian. It's good. We have a Feelies expert here because he's lived it.
I actually one time there was a I guess it was after Sandy, there was some kind of Hoboken benefit thing, and I was doing sound, and it was in Montclair at a place called Tyrannies.
Yeah, I know that place.
So Glenn wasn't supposed to play, I don't think, or maybe Sweet the Pile played or something, or some other band. You ever hear of the band East of Venus?
Yes, that's a Feelies related band.
Fun. I remember once I did sound for them there. Maybe it was the same night. And then Glenn was like, all right, we're going to do. Oh, yeah, this is a great story. Glenn goes to me, do you know how to play The Undertow?
Great song. Do you?
So I'm like, yeah, get this. I thought he was talking about a song called A Plan Revised, because the chorus goes, like Undertow, right? Yeah. Right. So like, yeah, I know The Undertow because I've been to a bunch of Philly shows and stuff, but like, I don't really know track names generally. Like, yeah. I don't know. I put it on a record. So I'm like, yeah, The Undertow, thinking it was like the song I had been playing in Sweet the Plow for years. Yeah. Like, yeah, oh yeah, I really do know the song. So I go up on the stage and like, it's like, wait, who the fuck was playing? I think it was Young Woo.
Yeah.
Literally. Except Brenda was not there because she lives in Pennsylvania, and I hopped in on bass. And so he starts playing The Undertow.
Which is a Tripe song, right? No.
It's a Tripe song that turned into a Feelies song.
Yeah.
So then, and it's on one of the Feelies records. So then he starts playing that, and I realize I don't know, you know, it's a couple of chords or whatever, but I don't necessarily know what they are. So, like, I look over at Ed Seifert, who plays guitar in Young Woo now, instead of Bill, because Bill is in Florida.
Yeah.
So when Bill moved to Florida, this guy, Ed, now plays guitar. So he's been playing guitar in Young Woo, but he's also in Sweet the Plow with me at the time. So I look at him on stage. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. He's calling out some chords as we're playing it. I barely make it through. Then, I mean, it was fine. I know the song enough in my ear. Yeah. So then I'm about to get off stage, right? And Glenn goes, well, you're up here. You might as well stay. And we played
the rest of the show.
Well, we played like four or three songs. Cool. None of them when I knew. And Ed was calling out chords, and I was playing on some person's bass, and the strap broke off, and like all this shit was going down. You know, just a night in Montclair. Like,
just a night in Montclair with Glenn Mercer, Ed Seifert, and Dave Wackerman. Was he there?
Yeah, I think so. Cool. Pretty sure. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, we're going to play one of his songs, Eternal Ice, on Shore Leave. Great record. Yeah. Recently reissued for Record Store Day 2018 on Bar None Records, originally released in 1987 on Steve Fallon's Coyote Records. Of course, Steve Fallon, everyone, the original owner of Maxwell's, Hoboken legend, if I do say so myself. All right, after that, Grass Widow, Fried Egg. I love this record, by the way. Great San Francisco band that I wish was still together. They may be in other projects, but I don't know. Yes. If you pick Fried Egg, that's a great song.
Absolutely in other projects. I could go on and on. Cold Beat is the bass player Hannah's other project. I saw Grass Widow open for Sonic Youth at Prospect Park, some shit, free show, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, who the fuck is this? Absurd. Live. Harmonies. Everything was absurd.
I'm jealous. Jealous. I've never seen them live.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So then I would like to go to their shows. I remember I saw them like in the Lower East Side with like Overhofer, some weird show. And then I saw them open for the Raincoats at Warsaw, which was absurd, obviously.
Yeah.
But every time I go and talk to them and stuff and buy their records and like whatever. And then the bass player is in this other band now. So I went and saw them recently, like a couple of years ago, and like chatted up and like, do you remember me? Because I always like go and talk to him and stuff. And like, and, I was trying to get her to actually do a music video for me because she's the only person who like I knew who like really makes great art, like film videos. And so I was like, damn, imagine she did a video for me. And like, I love Grass Widow. Like, that's just been my favorite band for like a minute.
Yeah, they're a great band.
And she was like, yeah, we just did that for a long time. And like, it's not a big deal. And like, no one really misses it. And no one's really sad. And like, she's doing her other thing. And she's always doing stuff. And she signed my record. And
it's
in my little bass shrine.
You're full of great stories, Dan. And after that, we're playing Dose Forever. This is a Mike Watt related project. It's Mike Watt and Kira Rossler, I think that's how you say her name. She was bass player in Black Flag for a time.
Yeah.
This record is important for this episode, so I'm glad we were able to play it because, you know, Mike Watt, great bass player. You're also a great bass player.
Thanks.
And he kind of has a lot of moving parts in his records as well.
Yeah.
Kind of like on your new record.
Yeah, yeah. Watt's a source of inspiration for sure. I love all of his bands and stuff. He's a great artist.
He's amazing.
Yeah. I think we're going to run out of time if I keep talking, right? If you're going to play all these songs.
Well, let's just move to Lou Reed, the original rapper off of Mistrial.
Let's talk bass. Fernando Saunders.
Interesting. I didn't.
That motherfucker on some of these Lou albums and like Always Live basically is that's some bass. Wow.
Sick.
I mean, wow. Just listen to the original rapper bass when it comes. I mean,
let's
scary,
do it.
Scary.
We're about to play these songs that you selected from my record collection, starting with Young Woo, who played last night at the Stone Pony with Yellow Tango. And Dan and I both wish we were there, but we weren't. We'll see you next time, Young Woo. For now, everyone enjoy Eternal Ice. We're back.
Whoop, whoop.
Doing a quick wrap up, and then I think we'll have some time for Lou Reed. It's 3:39.
Hey, whatever
the time of the song. But so tell me, you're playing a show tonight with
Monica.
Monica.
Uh huh.
Oh, nice. So that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Monica, but with an A.
Yeah, all yeah. Right.
Okay, cool.
The new record's so good, and I guess he likes me playing the bass in the band, which I think it's cute, so I'm there for it.
Awesome. And
the music's great.
You're going to be touring with Gobin Jr. You're the bass player.
Yeah, it was my girlfriend's band. Well.
Emma, yep. Your name, right?
We just...
Great band. I love Gobin Jr. Oh, it's great. As well. Shout out.
It's great, yeah. That's going to be a great tour. Then we got some Dan Francia band shows, one in June and one in July, but I can't really say exactly because they're not really all the way ready.
I'll get you all the info when it becomes available, people. But so Dan Francia band's got some gigs coming up. Can't wait for those. And everyone, this was such a fun episode. So many great stories. Dan's going to be on my podcast in a couple of months because I realized we need to like chronicle all of these stories.
There's a lot more shit.
And there's not enough time. But if you loved the songs that we played at the beginning of the episode, Dan's solo stuff, you can get Come Back to Life on cassette via Exploding in Sound Records, explodinginsoundrecords.com. It's also available on Bandcamp. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
Thanks,
and we'll see you guys next week. This is Lou Reed, the original rapper.
What? Watch out. Watch out. Watching the news, the world.
world's in a mess. The poor and the hungry, a world in distress. Herpes, AIDS, and Middle East at full throttle. Better check that sauce before you put it in the waffle line. Why, Ed, check what's in the batter. Make sure the cane is in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, better check that batter. Make sure the cane is in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, better check that batter. Make sure the cane is in the original wrapper. Watch out. Murder while he's looking at Cardinal O'Connor. Look at Jerry Falwell, Louis Farrakhan. Old talk religion and the Brotherhood of Man. They both sound like they belong in Tehran. Watch out, they're going at it full throttle. Better check that sauce before you put it in the waffle line. Why you at it? Check what's in the batter. Make sure the king is in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, you better check that batter. Make sure the king is in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, you better check that batter. Make sure the king is in the original wrapper. Watch out, watch out. White against white, black against Jew. It seems like it's 1942. Baby sits in front of MTV, watching violent fantasies, while dad goes to view with his favorite sport. On the finest heroes are all coked up. Classic original, same old story. The politics of hate and a new surrounding. Hate if it's good, hate if it's bad. And if it's all don't wanna make you mad, I'll keep yours and I'll keep mine. There's nothing sacred and nothing divine. Father bless me, we're going at it full throttle. Better check that sauce before you put it in the bottle. And why you edit? Better check that bat and make sure the king is in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, better check that bat and make sure the king is in the original wrapper. Concern, a feeling that there's nowhere to turn. Hippies, hippies up with mobile yuppies. Don't you treat me like I'm some lack. Of course the murderer lives while the victims die. A nudge rather see an eye for an eye. A heart for a heart and a brain for a brain. And if the song makes you feel a little insane, kick up your heels, turn the music up loud. Pick up your guitar, look out at the crowd and say, don't mean to come on sanctimonious. Life's got me nervous and a little pugnacious. Lugubrious, I give a salutation and I'll rock on out to a beat really fabulous. And how do you do? Hip hop, gonna bop till I drop. Watch out, girl, coming full throttle. Better check that sauce before you put it in the waffle. And while you're at it, check what's in the batter. Make sure the candy's in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, you better check that batter. Make sure the candy's in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, better check that batter. Make sure the candy's in the original wrapper. Hey, pitcher, better check that batter.